Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Kunjabihari Ramadhava Kunjabihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Gurudeva Jaya Gurudeva Jaya Gurudeva Jaya Gurudeva Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Sitaya Sakar Sisimati Zivangre Zesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Kohosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Chamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhanki Ganga Maiki Jamuna Maiki Tulasi Devi Maharani ki Gaura Premanandi All glories to assemble devotees All glories to assemble devotees All glories to assemble devotees All glories, all glories to the lotus feet of Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 1, text number 37. Himba Krita Gishua Gam Atya Marsi.
Himba Krita Gishua Gam Atya Marsi.
Bimo Givad. Dirgatamam vyamun chaha.
Vimo vivat dirgatamam vyamun chaha.
Yashangri patam rana burna sehe.
Yashangri patam rana burna sehe.
Margam gadaya charato vichitram.
Margam gadaya charato vichitram.
We started a little bit late, and there are three verses that Sri Gaurangi, the manager of the class here, told me to do today, three verses. So we are going to continue reading, and then we will discuss it, because we are a little bit late, I would say, and there is a lot to say about these verses. Actually, this verse is actually very important. It's almost the condensation of the Mahabharata in just a few words. So it's a very important verse. So I'd like to continue, and then we will come back to it.
Is the microphone on? Or?
The microphone?
I'm not sure.
Okay, one, two.
Okay.
So we will, as I say, we are going to have to speed it up a little bit because we are a little bit late if we want to end on time. Translation. Please tell me whether the unconquerable Bhima, who is like a cobra, has released his long cherished anger upon the sinners. The field of battle could not tolerate even the wonderful playing of his club when he stepped on the path. So please repeat after me. Please tell me, whether the unconquerable Bhima, who is like a cobra, has released his long cherished anger upon the sinners. The field of battle could not tolerate even the wonderful playing of his club when he stepped on the path. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Vidura knew the strength of Bhima. Whenever Bhima was on the battlefield, his steps on the path and the wonderful playing of his club were unbearable for the enemy. Powerful Bhima did not take steps against the sons of Dhritarashtra for a long time. Vidura's inquiry was whether he had yet released his anger, which was like that of a suffering cobra. When a cobra releases its venom after long-cherished anger, its victim cannot survive. So we'll move on to the next verse. text number 38. Kache Yashoda Rata Yutapanam. Gandiva Dambo Paranaratari Aste.
Gandiva Dambo Paratari
Aste. Alakshito Yakchara Kutagudo. Maya Karato Girisastutoso.
Maya Karato Girisastutoso.
Translation. Please tell me whether Arjuna, whose bow bears the name Gandiva, and who is always famous among the chariot warriors for vanquishing his enemies, is doing well. He once satisfied Lord Shiva by covering him with arrows when Shiva came as an unidentified false hunter. Please repeat after me. Please tell me Whether Arjuna, whose bow bears the name Gandiva, and who is always famous amongst the chariot warriors, for vanquishing his enemies, is doing well. He once satisfied Lord Shiva by covering him with arrows when Shiva came as an unidentified false hunter. Purported by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva tested Arjuna's strength by picking a quarrel with him over a hunted boar. He confronted Arjuna in the false dress of a hunter, and Arjuna covered him with arrows until Lord Shiva was satisfied with Arjuna's fighting. He offered Arjuna the Pasupati weapon, the Pasupati weapon, and blessed him. Here, Vidura inquired about the great warrior's well-being. So we'll finish now with text number 38. Jama putasvi tanayao pritayaha.
Jama putasvi
tanayao pritayaha. Partai vitao paksham pakshmabir akshindiva. Partai vitao palakshmabir akshindiva. Re matau daya mrde swariktam. Mrde swariktam. Parat suparnao iva vraji bald baktrat. Parat suparnao iva vraji baktrat. Okay, I'm sorry that we are kind of rushing this, and actually they are beautiful verses, very beautiful. Translation. Are the twin brothers who are protected by their brothers doing well? Just as the eye is always protected by the eyelid, they are protected by the sons of Prita, who snatch back their rightful kingdom from the hands of their enemy Duryodhana, just as Garuda snatched nectar from the mouth of Indra and Thunderbolt Carrier. So repeat after me. Are the twin brothers who are protected
by their brothers doing well?
Just as the eye is always protected by the eyelid, they are protected by the sons of Prita, who snatched back their rightful kingdom from the hands of their enemy Duryodhana. Just as Garuda snatched nectar from the mouth of Indra, the thunderbolt carrier. Purported by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Indra, the King of Heaven, carries a thunderbolt in his hand and is very strong. Yet Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, was able to snatch nectar from his mouth. Similarly, Duryodhana was as strong as the King of Heaven, and still the sons of Prita, the Pandavas, were able to snatch away their kingdom from Duryodhana. Both Garuda and the Parthas are pet devotees of the Lord, and thus it was possible for them to face such strong enemies. Vidura's inquiry was about the youngest brothers of the Pandavas, namely Sakula, Nakula, and Sahadev. These two twin brothers were sons of Madri, the stepmother of the other Pandavas. But although they were stepbrothers, because Kunti took charge of them after the departure of Madri with her husband Maharaj Pandu, Nakula and Sahadev were as good as the other three Pandavas, Yudhisthira, Bhima, and Arjuna. The five brothers are known in the world as regular brothers. The three elder Pandavas took care of the younger brothers, just as the eyelid takes care of the eye. Vidura was anxious to know whether, after winning back their own kingdom from the hands of Duryodhana, the younger brothers were still living happily under the care of the elder brothers. Okay, so yes. This is going to be a real challenge to be able to go through all these beautiful verses in just a few minutes. But let me ask obeisances to Srila Prabhupada and ask him to help me to say a few words here. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananda. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesha Sundavadi Paschatyada Satanina. Om Agyanate Mirandasya Gyanan Gyana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So the first verse takes number 37. Actually, the three verses are very beautiful and very important, but I wanted to concentrate specifically on the first verse, text 37. It says, Vidura speaking, please tell me whether the unconquerable Bhima, who is like a cobra, has released his long-cherished anger upon the sinners. The field of battle could not tolerate even the wonderful playing of his club, when he stepped on the path. His club or his mace. Right? Sometimes in the Mahabharata we see the word mace instead of club. So here I like personally the word mace. And I'm very, very, very happy that the Pujaris took the cue and brought a beautiful mace for Lord Balaram this morning. That was the first thing that I noticed because I wanted to mention that Lord Balaram was the mace teacher for Bhima and Duryodhana. He was their teacher. Now, we see Lord Balaram here. Before I even start speaking about the verses, let me offer obeisances to Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram looks very beautiful and very wonderful, and he's a joy for the devotees to see him. But as we will speak later, you definitely didn't want to face him in battle with the mace on top of his head in his war cry. You definitely don't want to see Balaram in that position. But the devotees will always see Lord Balaram smiling in his moment of glory, putting his elbow on the shoulders of Krishna. And that's his moment of glory. He's just not only a brother, but a friend. He's so close to Krishna. It's just, they're wonderful both together. And we have a great privilege to have these beautiful deities in front of us. So anyway, let's start now with the text, and then we'll talk a little bit farther about Lord Balaram during this text. So first of all, as we talked about last time when we were talking about the genealogy of the Kuru dynasty, from Vyasadev, because Vyasadev was summoned by the queen mother, Satyavati, because they needed heirs to the throne. So Chitrangada had passed away. He was killed by the Gandharva king. And then Vichitravirya passed out of illness after 7 years in the kingdom as a king ruler, but couldn't have any children. So now the Kurus didn't have any heirs. So Queen Satyavati called on her other son, Srila Vyasadeva, that was an ascetic living in the mountains, actually the writer of these wonderful literatures like the Mahabharata. So Vyasadeva came, and father from Ambika, Father Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was born blind because Ambika closed her eyes, as we explained last time, at the moment of the intercourse. And he said, your son will be very powerful, will be a great warrior, but will be blind because you closed your eyes at the time of inception. And then the queen mother asked for Srila Vyasadeva to come back because she thought, well, one son is not enough to continue the dynasty of the Kurus. So Srila Vyasadeva came back and had another child, Pandu, and he was born pale because Ambalika turned white when she saw the fearful features of Srila Vyasadeva. So, Queen Satyavati felt that they needed a third child just to secure the dynasty. She was not very secure as to what was going on. So Srila Vyasadeva came to have another child with Ambika after Dhritarashtra was born, except that Ambika didn't want to face Srila Vyasadeva again and put her servant instead of her. She dressed her up nicely, gave her nice clothes, and so this servant took care of Srila Vyasadeva, and from their union, Vidura was born, who was a very wise man, and he became the advisor to the king. So now we are hearing, these texts are questions presented by Vidura. Now Vidura, he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and he had great intellect, and he knew what was going on. So, because Dhritarashtra couldn't rule the kingdom, he was the firstborn, but he was blind. So therefore, Pandu became the king. Pandu was a very great warrior, and he conquered all the lands, and he became like the emperor of the earth. And he married Queen Kunti, and later on married Madri from the south. So what happened with Pandu, it's hard to rush through these things because they are just beautiful stories, and sometimes if you don't tell all the stories, then there is something that is missing. So I'm going to read now from the Theater of Understanding, the Mahabharata, which we perform in New York City, as we discussed last time. And I'm going to tell you, basically summarize what we just discussed. So this is from the Mahabharata, originally read by Lokamangala and Sankirtan. Narration. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this sacrifice, for its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things." 5,000 years ago, the earth was ruled by the powerful Kuru dynasty, of which Emperor Pandu was the chief. Noble and courageous, he was renowned throughout the world. Now, one day, while hunting, Pandu released his arrows and shot two deer in the midst of their mating. The deer were actually a sage and his wife. "You fool," said the dying sage, "do you know what you have done? It is forbidden to hunt the creature while it sports with its mate. My wife and I assume the forms of deer only to enjoy in our lovemaking. This has cost us our lives, and thus I curse you. The next time you venture to enjoy the delights of sex, you also will die." The king, overwhelmed with grief for what he had done, resolved to live a life of renunciation. Now Pandu had two beautiful wives, Kunti and Madri. Kunti had the power of a mantra. She could evoke the gods. Pandu said, "The demigods are like my brothers. Since I cannot give you a child, call upon them." She called upon Dharma, the Lord of Righteousness, and the pious Yudhisthira was born. She called upon Vayu, the wind god, and Bhima, with the strength of 1,000 elephants, was born. She called upon Indra, the king of heaven, and the mighty bowman Arjuna was born. Madri, Pandu's younger wife, asked to use the mantra. She called upon the Ashwini Kumars, who could cure the sick and restore youth to the aged. From the gentle twins, Nakula and Sahadev were born, five sons fathered by the gods. After some years, on a fine spring day, the first spring day, the one that excites the heart and calls for love and adventure and reckless longings of youth. On that day, Pandu approached Madri, caught hold of her, and forced her down. He thus evoked the curse of death. Madri followed her husband into death, and Kunti remained behind. She and her five young sons, the Pandavas, returned to Hastinapura and lived under the care of Pandu's blind brother, King Dhritarashtra. Pandu's sons were the rightful heirs to the throne, but Dhritarashtra had children of his own. And with the passing years, he and his son Duryodhana were consumed with a desire for world power, which spread and infected everyone around them like a raging disease. So that is the beginning of the Mahabharata. This is the crux of the Mahabharata. Although Dhritarashtra couldn't rule the kingdom because he was blind, was born blind, still he wanted his sons to be the heirs to the throne. Now, Dhritarashtra, because he was blind, he had trouble finding a wife. But Bhishma Dev said, you should marry, or we should approach the king of Gandhar. Now, Gandhar, today, in today's map, geographical map, is what is the country of Afghanistan. So they are mountainous people, they live in the mountains, and they are very shrewd, very intelligent people in order to live in such harsh environment. So Bhishma went and proposed to the king of Gandhar to marry his daughter Gandhari with Dhritarashtra. And so nobody really wanted to go along with this because Dhritarashtra was blind and they thought, well, he can never be king. The sons of Gandhari will never be the heirs to the throne. They'll never be able to be the kings. However, there in the family of the Gandhars, there was one very shrewd, very smart, very talented strategist named Shakuni. Shakuni was just not an ordinary person. Huh? He was very, very powerful, very talented, conniving, very strong, with great intellect. He would be considered like the head of the State Department of the Kingdom of Gandhar, not just some ordinary person. He was very talented. And he thought, he's blind, he's the first son, and they realized that Pandu had this problem that he had to go to the forest. He thought, well, maybe there is a way by artifice that we can snatch the kingdom away from Pandu and the children of Pandu. So Shakuni had this idea in mind. He said, let's accept the offer from Bhishma and you can marry Dhritarashtra. So Gandhari married Dhritarashtra, and from their union, Duryodhana was born, as well as 100 other children, the sons of Dhritarashtra. So when Pandu passed away, Kunti was living in the forest and said, I need to train the children to become the future kings of the world, so I need to go back to Hastinapur so they can be trained properly in martial arts and politics and diplomacy and other. So they went back to Hastinapur, and King Dhritarashtra took them in as his nephews. But immediately Duryodhana and his brothers, they realized that their cousins were there at the palace, and they were not their cousins, but their enemies, because they actually wanted to inherit the kingdom. They knew that they couldn't be the king. Duryodhana knew that he couldn't be the king because his father was blind. The rightful heir to the throne was Pandu. And therefore, the next in line would be Yudhishthira, who was the eldest son of Pandu. So he thought, we have to kill them. We have to get rid of the Pandavas, and then we can be the kings. We can inherit the kingdom. We have to figure this out. And this is where Shakuni comes in. Because Duryodhan didn't know how he was going to be able to do that other than fighting them. But he realized that the Pandava brothers were very, very strong, especially Bhima. Bhima was the son of Vayu. Now here, 3 days before the hurricane is supposed to come, we're already worried about the outer banks of some wind that is supposed to come. It's just some little hurricane that is coming through the Gulf. That's how powerful Vayu is. The wind god? The wind god has unlimited strength. And Bhima was his son. He was very powerful. So every time they played, Bhima would dunk them. Every time they had any kind of wrestling match or contest, Bhima was always the winner. And Duryodhan was really afraid. He was really afraid that they wouldn't be able to defeat the Pandavas in battle. So he went and told Uncle Shakuni, and we read that scene last time, where Uncle Shakuni said, yes, you are foolish if you think that you can defeat the Pandavas by force. They are very strong. They are children from the demigods. They are like very, very powerful. They are the greatest warriors on the planet. But he said, but there are artifices. There is other schemes that we can use in order to take the kingdom away from them. So Shakuni first told Duryodhan, what you are going to do next, invite them to a day of play, games, and wrestling. And while after the wrestling game, invite them for a big feast. And you feed Bhima poison. So Shakuni himself made this poison and gave to Duryodhana and said, give this to Bhima. So they invited the Pandavas. Yudhishthira and his brothers thought that, well, our cousins now, they are coming to find out that we are actual cousins, we are family, that we are going to have a good time. Yeah, let's go. Let's go to the palace near the Ganges River. So they went to the palace, and they had a great time. And then they start eating and eating. And Duryodhan was very nice. He was a perfect host. And he started feeding the Pandavas. He even fed Bhima fruitcakes and sweet cakes with his own hand. Please, my dear Bhima, have some sweet cake, especially the sweet cake that had the poison. But he was doing it with a smile. Please, Bhima, have these wonderful fruitcakes and sweets, especially your favorite food. You should have it. Please have it. And so, but Bhima, you know, he could eat unlimited amounts of food, so he kept eating and eating. And the Pandava brothers, Yudhishthira, Nakula, Sahadeva, and Arjuna, they were just kind of getting tired of being there, said, well, let's go back to Hastinapur. We can leave Bhima, he's fine with his cousins, he'll just be all right. We'll just go back to Hastinapura and he'll join us later. So they left. And they kept feeding Bhima with poison. And after like a long time, Bhima started feeling tired. And he was very, very tired, and at some point he just fell down. And Duryodhan looked at Shakuni, and Dushyant, his brother, said, now this is the time to get rid of Bhima. So they bound him up with ropes, and they tied two huge stones to the ropes and threw his body in the river. So he was completely poisoned by the poison fed by Duryodhan. And so he was falling into the water, and then the Nagas that live in the Ganges, I don't know if you ever go to the Ganges, you will see that there are snakes around the shores of the Ganges River. These are the Nagas. And the Nagas, when they saw Bhima, they just saw feasting. So they came and started biting him. But the poison from the fangs of the Nagas were the antidote for the poison that Duryodhan had fed Bhima. So at this point, Bhima started waking up and realized what was going on, that he was being attacked by the Nagas and he was inside the river. So with his strength, he got rid of the ropes and started fighting the Nagas and starting to kill them. So the Nagas immediately left and went to see their chief, Vasuki. And Vasuki at the time was having a meeting with Arka, one of the Naga chiefs. And Arka had been in a previous life a great-grandfather of Kunti, Queen Kunti. So for him, Bhima was his nephew. So when the Nagas came and said, "This human, he's incredible. He has such strength. He has been able to get rid of the ropes and the chains that they put around him, and he started killing us. What are we to do?" And then Arka said, "Ah, that is my nephew Bhima. He's unconquerable. He's very, very powerful. We should go talk with him, bring him here, and have a feast with him." So they went, Vasuki, Arka, and the Nagas. They greeted Bhima. They brought him to the cave. A little bit, I would say, if you have seen that movie called Aquaman, so something like that. They are under the water, and they all come to the cave. And so they feasted with Bhima, and they gave him soma ras that made him even more powerful. And the Nagas couldn't believe that he could drink 8 barrels of soma ras. I mean, he was like, he had unlimited appetite. And so that soma ras actually made him 8 times more powerful than he was before. So if he was powerful before, now he was 8 times more powerful. So after 8 days, he went back to Hastinapura after everyone was almost mourning. They didn't even know where he was. And Duryodhana was rejoicing that he had gotten rid of Bhima. But then he appeared again, and he was totally distraught. "Oh no, what are we going to do now? He has survived the poison. He has survived the river." And so he went to Uncle Shakuni. "Uncle Shakuni, what are we going to do? Bhima has survived our machinations. What are we to do?" And Shakuni said, "Let's devise another artifice. Let's devise another means. So what I think is that you should, they have become very, very popular in the kingdom. You should send them away, far away, like Varanavata, very far away. Build a house of luck, and one day when invite them to the house of luck, they shouldn't suspect that the house is going to burn down or you are planning to burn them down or anything like that. It should be all in secret. And then one day when everything is finished, and they are sleeping, put the house on fire and burn it up." So that's what they did. King Dhritarashtra invited the Pandavas to go on a vacation and visit the kingdom and go to Varanavata. But Vidura got hold of the scheme, and he told Yudhishthira, when they were leaving, he told him, "Be careful, this is going to happen to you." And then later on, Vidura sent a miner that built a tunnel under the house so that they could escape the fire. Anyway, that's another long story. We could be here telling stories about the Mahabharata until for the next 3 days. So I wanted to move a little bit quicker. So that was another one of the schemes that failed, because the Pandavas were able to escape the house of luck. So now, when Duryodhana found out that they had escaped, they didn't know what to do at this point. So they agreed to give them some land, and Dhritarashtra gave them some barren land, very far away from Hastinapura. But because Yudhishthira and the Pandavas were pious, they got Maya Danava to build a beautiful palace for them, and you know, the earth, it just blossomed under their care. And they again became powerful. So Duryodhana was really envious, because he saw their palace, and that's the story we told last time here, where he went to the palace of Yudhishthira, and they tricked him, and everyone laughed at him during the trick, because of the tricks. And Draupadi laughed at him Draupadi, Duryodhana said, the most beautiful woman that I have ever seen. He immediately became infatuated with Draupadi. And that is a major issue, that he became infatuated with Draupadi. So he said, Uncle Shakuni, we really got to get rid of the Pandavas. It's very imperative. If you really love me, if you really, really love me as my uncle, we have to devise a plan to be able to overcome them. So Uncle Shakuni, he had an idea. He said, yeah, you cannot defeat the Pandavas, as I told you before, if you fight them in a war. But I have a plan. Let's invite them to a game of dice, and I will make them gamble their kingdom away, because nobody can play against me and win, because I have these dice made from the bones of my dead father. So, let me start here. This is from the Mahabharata. So they invited the Pandavas for this game of dice. Now let's see. I don't know if I can do this by memory. Yeah, this is the crux, this is the essence of the Mahabharata and also of our own philosophy. Okay, so they came to the dice match. Ah, here it is. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry, but this is worth it because it was very well put together by the Theater of Understanding. Scene number 5, narration. Yudhisthira left for Hastinapura, accompanied by his brothers and their queen, Draupadi. Excellent arrangements were made for their stay. They were cordially welcomed. Their apartments were beautifully furnished, and many servants attended them. The next day, the dice match began. The assembly hall was filled with elders and respectful leaders of the Kuru dynasty. Stakes were wagered, jewels and precious stones. Shakuni played on behalf of Duryodhana. He took the dice in his hands and threw them to the floor. I have won. Yudhisthira wagered thousands of gold coins and necklaces studded with precious gems. Duryodhana did the same. Again, the dice were cast. I have won. Once again, Shakuni's call was heard throughout the assembly. I have won. Everyone was silent. The game went on. The atmosphere became feverish. Yudhisthira was losing steadily. I have won. Yudhisthira lost his jewels, his chariots, his horses, his elephants, his armies, servants, treasury. Everything was being swallowed up by the deceitful Shakuni, sitting there with his persistent, taunting voice announcing, I have won again. Shakuni's dice were mystical. There was no question of a fair match. It was impossible to defeat him. My dear Yudhisthira, I am afraid you have lost all your earthly possessions. You have nothing now. If there is anything that you can call yours, anything at all, you can wager that. And I will wager all that the prince has won so far. If you win, you can claim it all back. The madness of the game seemed to make Yudhisthira lose his reason. He was silent for a moment. Suddenly, he made up his mind. He wagered his brothers, then himself, finally, his lovely wife Draupadi and lost. Draupadi was dragged before the vicious assembly. They wanted her stripped naked. The Pandavas were helpless. Draupadi raised her hands and called out to her lord, Krishna, 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 you are my only refuge. You are my life. Save me, please. The cheaters unraveled her sari more and more, but miraculously, no matter how much cloth was removed, the sari on Draupadi's body still remained. That supreme mystic, Lord Krishna, unseen, was supplying her with unlimited cloth, and thus the honor of his devotee was saved. Finally, the Pandavas with their chaste queen were banished to the forest, into exile, and could not return for 13 long years. So, that is the narration of the play, and we couldn't show a couple important things. I just wanted to mention the part where Bhima comes in, how he became very, very angry with the sinners. That's the verses here. Which is that when Dushasan brought Draupadi dragged by her hair into the assembly, Bhima stood up from the Pandavas. They had already been lost. They were already considered slaves of Duryodhana. But he got up, stood up and said, Dushasan, you are committing a great offense, and when the battle comes, I will open your heart and I will drink your blood. And all of your brothers also will be killed by my hands. And Duryodhana said, ah, sit down, Bhima. You don't have any power anymore. You have lost. You are now my slave. And then Duryodhana turned to Draupadi and said, come on, Draupadi. Why do you still follow your husband? Yudhishthira has lost everything. Now, I am your master. I am your new husband. Come over here and sit on my thigh. Come on. Come to my thigh. And Bhima really got enraged at this time. He stood up again and said, Duryodhana, one day we'll go into a battle and I will break your thigh. So, because of the mystic power of Draupadi, Dhritarashtra became actually afraid that Draupadi had mystic powers and they wouldn't be able to overcome that. And so they let them go and they went into exile. So we go into the, let me see if I can finish this in the next 5 minutes. I'm sorry, I'm taking so much time here. I'm trying to rush as much as I can. But what happened is that at the end of the Kurukshetra battle, the Battle of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana had lost everything. Basically, all his generals had been defeated or killed, including grandfather Bhishma and his teacher Dronacharya. And they had to go, they had to be killed because they were during the assembly hall, during the dice match, and they didn't speak up against the outrage of Duryodhana. So that's something that I, for a long time, I've been holding against Grandfather Bhishma. I'm sorry about that, Grandfather Bhishma, because he had some great teachings, was a great devotee and friend of Krishna. But, you know, that not to say anything and to keep his mouth shut while Draupadi was being insulted is just something that I still can't comprehend how someone that had such great feelings and being a great devotee could just become quiet. But a devotee friend told me, yes, but he had been eating from the hands of Duryodhana for so long that his mind had become poisoned from that food. So anyway, we will not talk about, this is another text, probably the text with Grandfather Vishnu. Let's just take with Bhima. So what happened was that these great warriors had been defeated and Duryodhana escaped. And he ran away from the battle because he didn't have any army anymore. He didn't have any generals. He didn't have anything. And he escaped and hide in inside a lake, in the waters of a lake. And Yudhisthira and Bhima were looking for him, and they found him. They found the lake where he was. They traced his footsteps and said, oh, here he is, Duryodhana. Duryodhana, please get out of the water and fight with us. And of course, Duryodhana didn't want to. He was very, very tired, and he had lost everything, so he didn't, he didn't want to be part of any fight. But Yudhisthira kept taunting him and saying, no, you have to get out of the water and fight us. Why are you a coward? So when he heard that word, he said, no, I'm not a coward. I'll stand up to you, and I'm going to get out of this lake, and I'll fight with you. And Yudhisthira said, for your valiant effort to come out and fight with us, I'll give you the offer that if you defeat one of us, you can choose your weapon, and you can fight with one of us, one-on-one. And if you defeat one of us, then you can have your kingdom back. And Krishna went to Yudhisthira and said, you have been a little bit rash doing this. You have been very rash, because he could choose any one of you, and he's very expert with the mace. But Duryodhana, he was very enraged, and he really wanted to fight Bhima. He said, I choose my mace, and I choose to fight with Bhima as my opponent. So they decided they were going to do the final fight of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and they decided to go to another lake nearby where they were going to do the match. So Lord Balaram found out that they were going to do this fighting match, and so he came. And so Duryodhana and Bhima, they both greeted their teacher, and they went with Lord Balaram, Krishna, and Yudhisthira, and the Pandavas, and other warriors, to this lake to do the final fight. And so they were both very great warriors, Duryodhana and Bhima, and they were very powerful. But Duryodhana was more expert with the mace. He knew how to jump, how to fly in the air with his mace and come down and strike the opponent. Now, Bhima was very, very strong, but he wasn't as skillful as Duryodhana. Besides that, and that's another story which we don't have time to tell, but Duryodhana had a boon from his mother Gandhari, that because of her eyesight, he put an armor, invisible armor, on Duryodhana, mystical invisible armor. And he couldn't be defeated in battle, except for one place, which was the thighs, because Krishna told him to wear a cloth before he went to seek his mother. So that's another story I wish I could tell you in detail. But anyway, that's how the thighs of Duryodhana were the only place in his body that were vulnerable. Everything else in his body was solid as a rock. You couldn't really defeat him. So they were fighting, and Arjuna realized that Duryodhana was getting the upper hand because he was more skillful than Bhima. And over time, and because of the armor that he had, the invisible armor from Gandhari, that he couldn't be defeated. So he went to Krishna and said, what are we going to do? If Bhima loses, he's going to regain his kingdom, and we'll start all over again. And Krishna said, do this to Bhima. Touch your thighs. So Arjuna went closer to Bhima, and while Bhima was fighting, he looked back and saw Arjuna, and Arjuna told him like this, shock him to hit the thighs, which is considered under the belt, and under the belt was not allowed in fighting. So they kept fighting, and Bhima threw a blow. Duryodhana jumped, and when he came down, Bhima smashed his thigh. And Duryodhana, in total pain and agony, just fell to the ground, half dead. It was like he had already defeated him. Bhima defeated him. So everyone came and was congratulating Bhima, except Lord Balaram, because Lord Balaram was the teacher of both. He said, but you have hit him under the belt, and that is not allowed in fighting. So I'm going to kill you myself. So he lifted his mace, and he ran towards Bhima. This is a beautiful scene. I mean, Lord Balaram enraged. I mean, it's hard to believe, seeing this beautiful deity, that Lord Balaram could be that, would have this wrath. But, you know, believe me, you don't want to see Lord Balaram in his wrathful form. So he was running towards him with his mace up. And what did Bhima do? He was not afraid. He saw his Lord coming. He saw his spiritual teacher and mentor and martial arts teacher coming towards him and said, well, if I'm going to die, might as well die by the hands of Lord Balaram. And so he had a smile on his face. And Krishna, of course, when he saw this, he ran after Lord Balaram and he grabbed him with both of his arms and stopped him and said, Gauchi, you don't want to do this. He's not at fault because he had promised that he was gonna kill him and he was gonna hit the thighs during the gambling match. So he's not at fault for fulfilling his vow. And also because Duryodhan has been conniving, he has been tricking the Pandavas from the beginning. He always wanted to kill them. So Bhima is not at fault. You have to let him go. You cannot kill him. And Lord Balaram turned to Krishna and kind of sarcastically laughed and said, ah, so this whole battle, and so many people have died, was because of your doing, Krishna. You are the one who did this. You are the one who organized all of this. And Lord Balaram knew that, of course, if it was Krishna's instruction and order, the only thing he could do was put down his mace, go to his chariot, and drive away. But this is, and I'll conclude right here, this is the very, very, very important lesson. That's why Vidura is saying here has Bhima, who is like a cobra, has he released his long-cherished anger upon the sinners? The sinners. Why were they sinners? Not only because they wanted to kill his cousins, the Pandavas, not just because of that, not because they were murderers, but the worst sin was that Duryodhan wanted the wife of another, and in the presence of her husbands, wanted to enjoy with her. And Krishna cannot allow that. It is not allowable. That's why in this tradition and in any tradition, the adultery or the desire to enjoy the wife of another is like one of the worst sins there is. You can't do that. It's like unthinkable. It's like, as Vidura was saying in one of the sins of the Mahabharata, is that it was telling Dhritarashtra, your son is a lowborn. That's like the lowest of the lowest. Not only Duryodhan wanted to enjoy the wife of another, but in the presence of the husband, was telling Draupadi, come and sit on my thigh in front of her husband. That offense cannot be excused by any reason, by any means. There is no way to sugarcoat it. It's not possible. Which brings us to the point, and that's the final point that I'll make here, is that there are four regulative principles, but the one that says no illicit sex, that is a very difficult one to actually maintain and to hold, but is the crux of the matter. Because without maintaining that principle of no illicit sex, it's just, we're never gonna go anywhere. Will always be stuck in this material world. You can never get out. Because that is what brings us to the next life. In fact, yesterday I was talking with my son. We have once a week, we had a Bhagavad Gita class, and we were he's in Denver and we are here, so we are doing like a Skype, a Zoom meeting. And we were saying that, well, you have to train your mind in order to think of Krishna at all times, because at the end of your life, that's the consciousness that you have, that's the nature that you will attain without fail. So you gotta train your mind by japa, by chanting, bhajan, reading scripture, association with devotees. Very, very important, because otherwise we cannot get out of this planet. And again, and I'll conclude here, my son said, yes, but I have this story about this friend of mine who was going, he's a devotee, and it so happened that he was swimming in the Ganges and was going down the river, and all of a sudden he realized he was going towards some crocodiles. And the only thing that he could think is like he wanted to think of Krishna, because he knew that the crocodiles could kill him. But the only thing that came into his mind was a jingle in Hindi from a commercial instead of the Hare Krishna mantra. And he couldn't believe it, that he couldn't say the Maha mantra at the moment that he needed. But it happened that a devotee that was nearby saw the whole situation and saved him with a boat. And he was telling my son, hey, this is what happened. So even if you train your mind, at the end of your life, it is not guaranteed that you'll remember Krishna. So I was thinking about that for a minute, and then I realized that, well, yes, it is up to Krishna. We are just chanting for the glory of Krishna, to glorify the Supreme Lord through His holy name. If we are safe at the end of our lives, if we are getting out of this planet and go to Goloka Vrindavan, it will be Krishna's business, Krishna's doing. That's His will. If He wants to save us, He will save us. But who knows what we have done in previous lives, that we always do, what kind of karmas we have that we still need to pay for. But from my point of view, I want to get out of here. I want to get out of this material world, and I want to do whatever I can to get out of here by chanting Krishna's name. I know better now. I've spent enough time in this movement to know that this is what needs to be done. You gotta follow four regulative principles. You gotta chant your rounds. You gotta read the scripture. You gotta associate with devotees. Because if you don't do these things, you can't get out of here. Maybe it might take you several lifetimes, or who knows how many lifetimes. Eventually you'll get out of here, of course. You may learn your lesson. But this is a great opportunity. Great opportunity we have. So we'll try our best. And then whatever Krishna wants, we'll follow, whatever. It's Krishna's business. So ultimately, you can get out of here. Even if you chant all the slokas, if you know all the verses from all the scriptures, still is Krishna's doing, if He wants to save you. So the only thing we can do is pray to Krishna. Take shelter in Krishna. Say, Krishna, help me. This is an impossible situation. Please let me go to the spiritual world, to Goloka Vrindavan, and be in your presence. Okay, so we'll stop here. Sorry. It took an extra 15 minutes. Any questions, or anybody wants to say anything? Sorry I rushed so much, but we were a little bit late. Okay. Hare Krishna.
You know, Prabhupada said, you narrated very nicely the story. Prabhupada actually gave a commentary on that. He didn't narrate the story the way you narrated. He said, that's the moment Krishna literally decided all the Kauravas, all the members who were assembled there, seeing Dushasans, Duryodhans, audacity to humiliate Draupadi in presence of all. He put them to death. Bhagavad Gita 11.33. That sloka was there. Tasmat uttishtata jasola vishya.
They have already been.
Third line it says, mayeva nihita, by me, purvameva, I put them to death. When did he put them to death? Why? There's the incident.
Right. Because of the offense to his devotee,
Draupadi.
To Draupadi. microphone.
Yes, what you told, that your friend told, was also true. When Bhishma Dev was passing, Draupadi, after Bhishma Dev was giving the Rajniti to Yudhisthira Maharaj, telling him how to be a king, how to be pious, what